Y'all know the name.
Legends never die. We just proceed to draw the line. Or double and turn a 23 to a 45. Or divide it and cut a 23 if it knew a 6. Staring at the crown and sizing up, do it fit? The truth is dudes handing it over is overdue. We cutting hands off if hands are slow to move. I'ma stand still waiting in a room with a stringer while he stand on his word. While I stand impatient. All this co-op talk, all this sharing the pot. It sound cool till it's time for you to clear out your spot. Nobody wanna retire, nobody wanna proceed to. Till I'm swinging clubs like going back up your people. Gentlemen about it while I'm tying my sneakers. Better trophy at the end is was divided between us. And your idols turn rivals, tears turn to laughter. I'm signing rookie cards, get your cash up, motherfuckers. Couldn't afford our autograph. Legends never die, we call it that and do it like. And if memory serves, Hall of Fame, I'll be giving you words and get to it like. Until they putting jerseys in the rafters. Until they putting jerseys in the rafters. Until they putting jerseys in the rafters.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Straight Talks podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight's a special show. It's not a regular show that we do where we talk about certain topics and do an album review and things like that. This is a special show geared towards the Super Bowl that was just played last night between the Seahawks and the New England Patriots. And the reason why I'm doing this show is because I'm a football guy. I've been watching football for I don't know how many years now. Lots. And there's certain situations that come up in football games where you know what's going to happen. And I'm not even talking about the Marshawn Lynch or the last play of the game, but the Seahawks threw the ball and they should have given it to Marshawn Lynch. I'm talking about another situation. And that situation leads to other questions that I have about what really went down tonight. Okay? And just to start it out, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in the least. I'm not a Pats fan. I'm not a Seahawks fan. I'm a Ravens fan. My team wasn't in the Super Bowl, so I have no dog in any one of these fights. It's just what I'm seeing. And I'll bring that up later on in the podcast. So right now, I'll get the regular spiel out of the way. Website, www.straighttalks.com. STR, the number 8, -TALKS.com. Twitter, @StraightTalks. The @ STR, the number 8, TALKS, all one word. You can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's also many different ways you can subscribe to the feed through our website, on our website subscription feed page. You can also subscribe via email. We've added that feature where if you don't want to subscribe, you just want to get an email when the new show is available, and it'll automatically send you a link to that show so you can just play within your email. If you're on the site and you want to listen to a show without subscribing or downloading, we have a player within each episode's section. You can just hit the play button and it'll start. But if you want to peruse the website, go to different pages in the website, there's another little script underneath the play buttons which says play in a different window. I had a listener email me and say that every time I'm listening to your podcast through the website, on the website player, if I go to a different page, it stops. And I was like, that's why we looked into it and we realized that you need to have a different player playing it in the background. So we added that feature and that's there now. So if you want to peruse the website and listen to the podcast at the same time, please select play in a different window and you'll be able to do that. Okay, so all that being said, we'll get straight into my views on the conspiracy bowl. Sorry. So to start off this episode, I'm going to tell you right now, not a conspiracy theorist of any sorts. Not at all. But it might come off like I'm a conspiracy theorist. And again, I'm not. But I look at things different than most people. Some people take what they see as truth. And some people in the group that I'm in take what we see and try to find an underlying reason or meaning behind actions taken. I mean, we're talking about the Super Bowl and we're getting kind of deep right now already. But I must say also that I'm not a New England Patriots fan and I'm not a Seattle Seahawks fan, Baltimore Ravens fan. I look at games, Super Bowl games especially when my team's not involved. I look at games like, who do I hate the least? And that's who I will cheer for. The team I hate the least. If I don't have any feelings towards any team, I just want to see a good game. That's it. But I didn't want to go through the months that we're going to hear about Tom Brady and the New England Patriots as a dynasty and this, that, and the third. I didn't want to fucking hear it. That's why I didn't want them to win. I wanted questions to be asked like we're asking about Peyton Manning. Why can't you win the big game? That's what I want to hear. So now we're going to have to endure, since the Patriots won the Super Bowl, we're going to have to endure months until the football season starts about this being the dynasty and Tom Brady the best ever and better than Montana and better than this. And oh, fuck. Who wants to hear this? I don't. And that's the main reason why I didn't want the Patriots to win. And Michael Irving and Mariucci and Rich Eisen and whoever. It's just, oh my God. Get off your knees already. Seriously. Let Giselle take over. Seriously. But anyways, getting into the game. Like I said in the intro, great game. Excellent game. Amazing game. Up until the last 2 minutes of the game. For those of you that didn't watch the game, a little recap. Patriots take the lead 28-24. There's a little bit more than 2 minutes left. So the Seahawks get the ball, 20-yard line, make a play. Get about, I think they threw the ball to Marshawn Lynch in the flat, got like 30 yards. So they're already at half field now. 2 minute warning hits, timeout, whatever. Get back on the field. I think they run another play and get a couple of yards. And the long bomb of the game was thrown up. I forget who made the catch. It was a ridiculous catch. It was tipped. The guy was falling down. It hit his knee, hit his leg, and it just hit his hand, and he just ended up being able to corral it with one hand, bring it to the other hand, and make the catch. If you haven't seen it, go check that out on YouTube or watch your local sports station. It's an incredible catch. Ball never touched the ground. He got up and ran a little. They're at the 5 yard line. And this is with about, I don't know, 30, 32 seconds left. I might be wrong at the time, but who cares? That's not even what it's about. So, you're at the 5 yard line. You got lots of time left. You got two timeouts. I mean, and you got beast mode. You got Marshawn Lynch back there. Nobody on the Patriots has been able to stop this guy. You need 8 guys to stop this guy. And you need 5 yards. You need 5 yards to take the lead. Me, personally, if I was a coach, and I'm not, but I would use up as much time as I can. Because I know from 5 yards out, Marshawn Lynch is going to score. And even if I want to get tricky, I can run a play action and boot Russell Wilson out to the right. Have a tight end come across the middle. If the safety or the cornerback or the linebacker decides to step up and take Russell Westbrook, it's just a little toss to the back of the end zone to the tight end or the wide receiver coming across. You see the play every week. It works. Like, the multitude of plays from 5 yards out for that team, especially since you have the best running quarterback in the league. I mean, I would bet my money, I would bet everything I have that they score a touchdown. So the first play, first and goal, about what I said, 31 seconds left, they give it to Marshawn Lynch. Again, rips off about 4 yards. Six guys hanging on him, he got 4 yards. So now you're at the one. Second and goal at the one. So now you're watching the game and you're like, well, Seattle's going to score here. Now we just need to find out how much time is going to be left on the clock so New England can go down and score. And we're sitting there waiting. I'm sitting there waiting for the Patriots to take a timeout. In this situation, I don't know how many of you out there who watch football. Well, let me ask a different question, sorry. If you're in this situation, what do you do? And the situation is 22 seconds left, or 24 seconds left, whatever it is. Team's on your 1 yard line. The other team has the most unstoppable running back in the league. Like I said, 8 guys, you need to stop this guy. And if they score, you're down by 3. So even if you get down there, get down anywhere near the other end, at least you have a chance to kick a field goal, tie it up, go to overtime. Me personally, well, I would take a timeout. Leave as much, I have two left. I have three left, two or three left. Save as much time as I can because I have to assume that these guys are going to score. I don't want them to, but the percentage is in their favor that they're going to score. I don't know the exact percentage, but I can safely say that second and one, the team usually scores in the high 90s. I'd say 98, 99% of the time, the team scores. Second and one, the second and goal at the 1 yard line. I think I'm safe with those percentages. So I have to assume you're going to score, and I need to preserve as much time on the clock so that I can come down and at least give my kicker a chance to kick a field goal. But no. No timeout. 24, 23, 22, 21. No timeout. I'm sitting there thinking, how come this guy's not taking a timeout? Or maybe he took a timeout and the guys that are running the cameras didn't see it or hear it, and they're just letting the play clock run and stuff like that. So, no, they haven't called a timeout. That's weird. Why wouldn't you call a timeout there? If they score with like 3 seconds, the game's done. This doesn't make any sense to me. And then the next play, for some ridiculous reason, and you know what, I keep saying ridiculous reason to friends and people that I was talking to, but I get what they were trying to do. Everybody in the world watching the game knows you're going to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Everybody knows that. And you try to throw a little wrinkle in. And even Pete Carroll came on after the game and said, I saw them with their goal line run defense, so we decided to call something else. I don't care who knows about this. I don't care what defense they're running. Marshawn Lynch will run through it. And like I said, play action to Marshawn Lynch and let the best running quarterback in the game just walk it into the end zone. Or if a linebacker or cornerbacker steps up, little lob over the top. Like, what are we talking about? There's so many other plays to run than the slant on the goal line, which is ridiculous. Who runs a slant on the goal line? Anyways, the rest is history. Player by the name of, and I got to pull out my book because who the hell is this guy? Malcolm Butler, undrafted rookie from West Alabama, I believe, picked it off, essentially ending the game. Throw a slant pass on the 1 yard line. I don't know. When you have Marshawn Lynch sitting there. I don't know. But anyways, game done. Patriots win. everybody's, I mean, I had my head in my hands, and I'm not even a Seahawks fan. What the hell was that? I'm looking at the guys that I'm watching the game with, and they're like staring back at me like, what did we just watch? And it's just like, wow. So those are the game facts, well, the pertinent game facts to what I'm going to discuss now, okay? If anybody in the secondary of the New England Patriots, if Browner, Revis, anybody but this guy made that catch on the goal line, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Because those guys have years and years of experience. Those guys know how to dissect tape. They can watch tape and say, I've seen this, and see the lineups and see the way they're configured and say, I've seen this before in the tape, and be able to go through their head that fast and know what's coming. That's what makes them Pro Bowlers. If it was Darrell Revis, I'm in bed right now. Darrell Revis sniffed that out. But an undrafted rookie who appeared in 11 games, made 15 tackles, and defended only 3 passes the whole season, sniff that play out? I doubt it. Everybody in the freaking world thought they were going to run the ball, and you knew that they weren't. You sniffed that out? Doubt it. And you're going to say, well, Reggie, then, if you doubt that he's that good, what do you think happened? Well, cheaters never prosper, right? Some cases they do. I saw cheaters prosper last night watching the Super Bowl. And I bring up Spygate. 2007, the New England Patriots were disciplined by the league for videotaping the New York Jets' defensive signals from a sideline location during a game. So they were pretty much videotaping the signals and then relaying them back to head coach, offensive coordinator, whoever. So they knew what defense they were running, so they would know what play to run to beat it. Discipline, guilty. Belichick admitted doing it. Oh, I thought it was within the rules. I thought we could do it. No, you can't do that. Oh, my bad. Belichick gets fined $500,000, half a million by the league. Patriots get fined $250,000, which is, both of them are the max you can be fined. And he said he's been doing it since 2000, since he took over the Patriots. He's been doing that. And he said, well, not all of them are in the same game. I mean, I would tape the New York Giants the week before, and then look at their signals, and then next week if we're playing them, I would remember those signals, and it's just like, yeah, that's cheating. And we just went through this whole thing about the flake gate and the balls, and you have a running back that's very fumble prone. You take the air out of the balls, it's easier to grip, it's less likely you're fumbling the ball with these guys' sticky gloves and strong hands. If the ball's under inflated, it's easier to grip. Now, as far as throwing the ball and stuff like that, I don't know what kind of benefit it would have to deflate the ball, but I know running the ball for sure. It's like a deflated soccer ball or basketball. Deflated basketball, anybody can pick up the ball, a palm a ball. Inflated all the way, only people with big hands and strong hands can do it. And you've got a running back that's prone to fumble. And it's just all these little things that you do to get an edge in the game, but can't do it. Can't do it. So they showed during the game today, they showed all the balls that the game was going to be using, and they have a guard by it. it's in a steel cage, not a steel cage, but a steel in between like four steel barricades, and there's someone standing there making sure that every ball that's thrown out is properly inflated. It was funny, but. In 2002 also, the Patriots were accused of videotaping the St. Louis Rams before Super Bowl 36. And they actually had one of the video assistants, who goes by the name of Matt Walsh, come forward and say, I have evidence that the Patriots were watching the St. Louis Rams walkthrough. And those are supposed to be closed doors. No one's allowed in here. And he said some of the Patriots employees were there, you know, and we were setting up video equipment for our own team's practice, and I'm pretty sure someone's tape was rolling. I wasn't there. I can't say that, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a tape rolling and they're pretending they're setting it up, but it's really recording already. And these are the things that the New England Patriots do. I also read somewhere that the Patriots, they run very close to the line on plays that are legal and illegal. And Belichick was quoted as, well, sorry, not Belichick, but one of the assistant coaches was saying, yeah, we do that, but it's up to the referees to call it, which it is. Which it is up to the referees to call it. But if you know you're running an illegal play, why run it? Your team's that bad, you need that much of an edge? That more of an edge to beat teams? It's disgusting. The whole organization is disgusting to me. They cheat. This is cheating. And I don't care. You tell me, oh, what happened in 2006? It's still cheating. It's the same guys. You did it once. They probably did it more than once. You just got caught once. I'm sure they've done it since 2007. I'm positive they have. Positive. And I'm sure more teams in the league do it. Now, getting back to a point I made earlier of not calling a timeout. And like I said, I was confused. Like, why wouldn't you call a timeout to preserve some of the time? So if these guys score, at least you have 18, 17 seconds at least to do something, try something. The way this is going, if they score, you're going to have 4 seconds left on the clock. They're going to squib it and the game's done. Squib it deep and the game's done. So, thinking to myself, why wouldn't I call a timeout if I was Belichick? What are the reasons why I wouldn't call a timeout? I wouldn't call a timeout. Maybe I don't know how much time's left on the clock. Nope. I'm sure the assistants and the people in his ear and his headphones are like, 23, 20, 22, 21, 20, counting it down. Hey, call a timeout. Do something. I'm pretty sure they'd be telling him that. So I'm positive he knew how much time was left. Maybe another reason. I don't know. Maybe I have so much faith in my defense to stop this guy that I won't have to call a timeout. I know we're going to stop him. Yeah, maybe. Anything else? Maybe I know a play's coming. How do you know that? Well, I can't tell you that. How I knew the play, which play they were running. I can't tell you that. And me, being the non-conspiracy theory, believe that they knew exactly what play the Seattle Seahawks were going to run. And that's why they didn't call a timeout, because they didn't need to. And Malcolm Butler becomes a national hero. Hey, Malcolm, if anybody asks you how you made that big play, just say you had a vision that you made a big play in the Super Bowl. That you had a vision last night that you'd make a big play in the Super Bowl. And that's exactly what he said in the post-game interview. And I wish I could get clips, but I know the clips when I did this when I came home. The clips aren't up. They'll be up tomorrow for sure on YouTube and stuff like that, and you can hear everything and could chop it up and everything. But I wanted to get this thing down when I had everything fresh in my head. Like I said, if it was Darrell Revis, sniffed it out. I saw that play in videotape and blah 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 blah. And gotcha. Okay, fine, no problem. Malcolm Butler, he's played 11 games in his career and he's sniffing out plays from Pete Carroll. I don't know. Personally, my view is I think the New England Patriots knew exactly what play they were going to run because they were cheating. And that's why they didn't, because it always comes back for me. It always comes back to why the hell wouldn't you take a timeout there? Me watching a game, I don't have any faith in the New England defense to stop Marshawn Lynch 3 more times. What are you kidding me? No way. This guy's running into Vince Wilfork and he's not even budging. Like, please. Even to bounce it to the outside, he ain't stopping him. And like I said, for the third time, even if you run a bootleg, you're going to score. I bet everything on it. Throwing a slant on it's a ridiculous play call in the first place to throw a slant on the goal line, but who the hell is expecting that? I wasn't. So how can a rookie that's only played 11 games in his life figure that out? Give me a break. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. Maybe he's the next Deion Sanders back there. Who knows? But it'd be very interesting to see where this guy's career heads next season. Does he turn into... Maybe I could be wrong. If he turns into Deion Sanders, yeah, then I'm wrong. But for me, it's just that timeout kills me, man. That not using the timeout is the key for me. They take a timeout and they sniff that play out. Okay, fine. I get it. But to not take a timeout in that situation, I have no idea why you wouldn't do that. Unless, of course, you knew what was coming. My view on the Super Bowl. Short and sweet. I think the New England Patriots cheated their way to another Super Bowl. And we're going to have to hear about this for however many months. August, so 9 more months. We're going to have to hear about this. About how the Patriots are a dynasty. And Tom Brady's the best ever. And Gronk's unstoppable. When Edelman's the best wide receiver the game's ever had. And Darrell Revis is a legend. And he's better than Richard Sherman. And he's better than this guy. And he's better than that guy. Tom Brady didn't even look on Richard Sherman's side of the field. No, I think he was thrown at once. I mean, if you're the best, go at him. If you're the best. The New England Patriots are the team that flies just close enough to the sun to get a tan, but not get burned. And they pulled out another one today, or yesterday. With all the business that's going on with Goodell, with the State of the Union speech that he made a couple of days before the Super Bowl, and Deflategate, there was so much going on. So much going on that I believe that the New England Patriots took advantage of that distraction to create Spygate 2014 or 2015. So maybe in a couple of weeks we'll hear something from someone saying something along the lines of, yeah, I believe that they were taping plays, and let's see where that takes us. Let's see where that takes off. And if any of this comes out to be true, well, I saw a coach in New Orleans get suspended for a full year because he had bounties on players. If you hurt a player, you get this amount of money. If you break this guy, you get this amount of money. He got suspended for a year. If this comes out to be true, I mean, what do you do? Lifetime? I mean, he's probably going to retire soon anyway. Now that the New England Patriots are, and I'm doing air quotes, dynasty, how many years does Brady have left, you think? Like I said, man, cheaters never prosper, but in this case, it's always something with the Patriots anyway. But like I said, I'm not a Seahawks fan, not anything. I'm a Ravens fan, but I don't believe that... Everything's on the up and up. I don't believe it's on the up and up. But anyways, that's all I had to say about the Super Bowl. Just a quick hitter, 20 minutes, in and out. But I just wanted to get my views on what I saw in the Super Bowl and what I think. And to recap, I think the New England Patriots cheated. Straight up. So... if you're listening to this and you feel any differently, or if you can shed some light on something that I've said, you can be reached at admin@straighttalks.com. You can leave messages on Twitter. Yeah, I'll definitely respond. If someone else can, like I said, if someone else can shed some light on this to me, I'd be very interested to hear what people have to say about this. Very interested. And I'll listen to anybody. And if what they said makes sense, we can have a discussion. But I need to hear. No one's asking Belichick in the post-game interviews. And actually, I didn't hear all of them, but I just on the field. But no one's asking the question, like, why didn't you take a time out there? What did you think was going to happen? See what he says. But he'll say all the right things, and hopefully, like Bob Marley said, what you do in the dark comes out in the light. So hopefully we can get this thing straightened out. Or I could be 100% wrong. But that's just what I've seen from watching football for the amount of years that I've watched football. In that situation, you take a damn time out. You take a damn time out. And I also believe that if they did take a timeout, they would have ran the ball. Because you want to get that clock started. But, like I said, I don't care what situation you're in. I'm running that ball. With Marshawn Lynch, I'm running that ball. But, man, Pete Carroll, like a man, stepped up and took all the responsibility for that play call. Probably wasn't his call. Probably got talked into it. Seems like the type of coach that'll listen to assistant coaches and go with what their gut is. But in that situation, I mean, you're just trying to outsmart them and you ended up outsmarting yourself. So that being said, that's all I have to say about that. So like I said, next week we'll do a regular show. We'll get back into the regular format. And like I said, Tony Ruckus will be with us, so we can debate a little bit. We can talk a little bit about what I spoke about just now and get his views on it. And if anybody replies to what I've said, we'll talk about that definitely. So thanks for listening to the Straight Talks podcast. This has been a special edition, Super Bowl edition, and Patriots are cheaters.
Y'all know the name.
That was nasty, right? I cocked that joint back and banged on him.